Morning, everybody. We have a little problem with this little mic. Not serious. I can't have it too close unless I get a little feedback. But we're going to put it down a bit, and I'm going to try to stay away from the pulpit, and I trust it won't be too inconvenient or uncomfortable, rather. It's been a good day. The Lord has blessed us. I know our fishermen are probably a bit concerned at this time. We need to continue to remember them in prayer. I'm glad it was mentioned this evening because they have been home quite a while, and it makes a difference in the economy, let's face it, when they're not working. We depend a lot on our fishermen in more ways than one, not only those abroad but those here, and it's the mainstay of our economy, so we should be much in prayer regarding this. But like the song that is sung, Glenda sings, one of my favorite, he's the master of the wind. And that's something that we have absolutely no control over. But yet God is a good God and a gracious God. And he knows exactly what we need. I want you to turn tonight to the book of Esther. I know we've heard a lot of messages on Esther. But the Lord has sort of touched my heart with something in the book regarding this dear lady. It's been a good day. The Lord has blessed us. I know our fishermen are probably a bit concerned at this time. We need to continue to remember them in prayer. I'm glad it was mentioned this evening because they have been home quite a while, and it makes a difference in the economy, let's face it, when they're not working. We depend a lot on our fishermen in more ways than one, not only those abroad but those here, and it's the mainstay of our economy, so we should be much in prayer regarding this. But like the song that is sung, Glenda sings, one of my favorite, he's the master of the wind. And that's something that we have absolutely no control over. But yet God is a good God and a gracious God, and he knows exactly what we need. I want you to turn tonight to the book of Esther. I know we've heard a lot of messages on Esther. But the Lord has sort of touched my heart with something in the book regarding this dear lady. In fact, I want to just tag the message tonight as Esther, God's Beauty Queen. All right? God's Beauty Queen. Why don't you turn to chapter 2, please? And if you will, chapter 2. And we're going to read verse 5, 6, and 7. And a verse or two in chapter 4. Esther 2 and verse 5. Now in Shushan, the palace, there was a certain Jew whose name was Mordecai, the son of Jer, the son of Shimei, the son of Kish, a Benjamite, who had been carried away from Jerusalem with the captivity, which had been carried away with Jeconiah, king of Judah, whom Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had carried away. And he brought up Hadassah, that is Esther, his uncle's daughter, for she had neither father nor mother, and the maid was fair and beautiful, whom Mordecai, when her father and mother were dead, took for his own daughter. And chapter 4, please, chapter 4. And we'll read verse 13. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, think not with thyself that thou shalt escape from the king's house more than all the Jews. As you know, the decree had been signed for all the Jews to be put to death whenever they came across any Jew. Verse 14. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth, here's God's timing, God's program, who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer, go, gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. So Mordecai went.
Sacrifice her life, and there's much said about her. There in that Persian culture, things were so opposite, so different, and that is the Jewish upbringing, and the laws that they had of God and by God. And here they were over there as servants to the Persians in the land of Iran. And the heathen writers tell us that whenever a woman or a person ever dared to come in the presence of the king, unannounced or uncalled or not invited, they had an executioner right by the door. And the moment they dared to come in, if the king didn't hold out his scepter, that executioner had the right and the authority to kill the person immediately. There was no trial. So you can easily see how Esther had cause to be fearful. The reason for that, of course, is that, as it turned out, that many of those kings were assassinated. That's why they were very cautious, and they had their guards by the door to protect the king from assassinations. And so we have a beautiful story in the book of Esther, and every time I read it, we've heard sermons on it not too long ago. And yet every time I go over the book, the Lord always brings to my heart, that is, thoughts that refresh me and encourage me. And I trust it will be a source of encouragement to you as well. Esther, this dear servant of God, this wonderful woman who is willing, as her name suggests, of course the Persian name that was given to her, means a star. But the other name, her Hebrew name, Hadassah, which means myrtle. I presume that comes from the myrtle tree. And it was characteristic of her, though true of her. She was a star. She was the beauty queen, the beauty star of that particular occasion. And stars shine very brightly in the night. And you have to admit that Israel was going through a nighttime period spiritually in the book of Esther. But God had his star. What a lesson for us as his children. We look about us, and beloved, we have to admit it is a dark world in which we live. Yeah, I know God has been good, and we live in an affluent society, and we have a lot to be thankful for. We're not complaining. But amidst it all, we still get sick, don't we? We still have cancer. We still have heart trouble. We still have nations who are anti-God, who are stripping the moral code of God, the Word of God, from their places of the political offices. And we're still governed, at least in America, they're governed by the popularity vote. That's a big thing in America. You know, the popularity vote for the beauty queen, Miss Universal, Miss America, and so on. And so, even when it comes to issues in the political world, everything is governed by the polls, you know. The polls say, and I just use this, I'm not trying to be involved in the political system of America, but you know the problem that they're faced with. Their supreme commander of that great nation. People want to be governed by the popular vote, whether he should be impeached or not. Give it to you straight, all right? And so, the code of ethics or the law is meaningless to a lot of these people. I feel like calling up CNN one of these nights and say, listen, Next time you get a pull, take the pull from all the prison houses of America and see what the prison pulls would show or bring up then. You know, I have to smile a lot of times about the popular vote regarding many issues of these nations, because they are anti-God and anti-His code of morals. They're anti-everything the Bible has to say, you see. And the liberals that we have, who strip us of the Word of God if they can, and they're always trying to undermine God and His Word. But in the dark, dark place of Persia, there was a bright star. There was a witness. And so, too, that is to say that you and I can shine as a star for God. And we can look around, you can cry, you can moan, you can complain about how dark it is, how tragic it is, and we can bemoan or bewail the situation. But listen, God has called upon us to shine for Him as such a world of ours and such a place as ours where we live. Shine for Him. If people are against you in school, shine for Him at the school. In business, if you're not popular, shine for Him in the business world. Be a star like this gracious lady, this queen, this beauty queen of God. She was a star who really shone for Him. We can truthfully say this about Esther. Well, in the strange land, there was another person, another character, and we must give him a lot of credit. His name was Mordecai. Mordecai was a man who tutored and who discipled Esther, who lost her mommy and daddy. You have to give him a lot of credit. He brought her upright. He brought her upright. He taught her the things of God. Mordecai was a man who feared no one but God. And he was bent on carrying out uncompromisingly the way of God. Even though they took him out of the land of his culture and the land of his faith and the land of his belief, yet when he was there in Persia, it never changed him in the slightest. Mordecai was still the faithful, ardent disciple of God. And while he was there, no encouragement from society or from the world, no encouragement, but he encouraged himself in the Lord. And he brought her up. He took her over. That was very nice. A good gesture, was it not? And he did a very good job of this. And so, as her name implies then, given to her that she is a star who shone with such brilliant, dazzling splendor, and in that dark period of the Jewish history. And so, beloved, the joy that eventually came to Israel as a result of her faithful witness for the Lord. The misery, the pain, the anguish, the privations, and all these things we just mentioned, the sorrow, it paid off because of their faithfulness and because she was willing to do the will of God. And I like that. And you come to her beauty, and I'm reminded of the beauty queens that have been elected. And by the way, you'd be amazed how many of them end up a very pitiful, pitiful life. In fact, the Miss Bermuda, I know the child's mother well because she's a member of our assembly, one of our assemblies in Bermuda. And no doubt about it, a beautiful child. Oh, she was picked as Miss Bermuda, the queen, and she went, of course, to Europe for a trip. And while she was in Great Britain, when she landed on Great Britain, the authorities were there, and they caught her, and she wasn't a dope addict. But the person who tutored or helped her, helped finance her campaign, had managed to convince her that it would be to her advantage if she would carry these drugs to England. She smuggled drugs into England. They caught her, and you can imagine the exposure. You can imagine the shame that she brought on her parents. They were shocked. Her father's a godly man. He's a doctor. Good friends of mine. I don't care to mention their names right at this moment. But what I wanted to bring out is this. She was stripped of her crown. She, by default, allowed herself to be tempted in that one particular thing. And she lost her crown as the beauty queen of Bermuda. The beauty queen, that was also way back from Warsaw, going back a few years, Irene Wiersbach, shot herself through her heart, committed suicide, because she couldn't keep up the pace, or she was losing the prestige of being the beauty queen. Dulcie Barclay, from Australia, who was the beauty queen on one occasion, also committed suicide. Peggy Davis, queen and millionaire. She was found dead in her luxurious car with a note, "I don't want to live anymore." Miss Europe and Miss Universe, both of them, during the same period or that particular year, they were the two most promising and most beautiful women in the world. The Greek Orthodox Church came down so hard on Miss Europe that she was, with broken heart, gave up her crown because of what the church had put on her. She became very distressed and emotionally distressed as well. And, of course, the other lady was killed in a car when she was coming from a cocktail party in Hollywood. They had quite a big time, and that's how she went out. The beauty queen of Romania could not bear the thought of returning to a life of poverty. So she took poison and committed suicide. And even the one of Somerset, England, drowned herself because of pressure and because of discontent. That isn't to say all of the beauty queens ended up like that, but many of the beauty queens of the world, it's the vanity of projecting a personality and the beauty of face and form, and they find out later on that life doesn't consist in these things, and they become bored and wretched and unhappy, you see? But when you are a beauty queen for God, and when I say a beauty queen, I can't say a beauty king for the fellas. That wouldn't sound too good, eh, Grover? No, all right? But, you know, when we say be a beauty queen for God, or a beauty personality for God, this is a spiritual realm. Thank God you will never be depressed when God uses you and blesses you, and you become that person that is really committed to the Lord. You'll never be disappointed. And you never have to worry about losing your crown. It'll never be in default when we faithfully serve the Lord down here. And so Esther, who was chosen to be the queen, you know the story well. I'm not going to go into detail of all of it, because we wouldn't have time. But suffice to say this, that when the king had his all of his friends from Ethiopia, even as far as India, that came for that great banquet, you know how he was embarrassed by Queen Vashti, who would not perform for him. And, of course, the men got together, the husbands got together, and they said, "Your Majesty, this is not good. Said, if all of the women find out how your wife turned you down, we'll never be able to go home again, or we'll never be able to live. They're going to really be the bosses of the house, and they're going to think if Vashti got away with it, then we can get away with it too." Sounds reasonable. I don't know. Okay, ladies, I take it easy now. But these princes won over the king. He said, "You know, you're right. He had her removed. We got to make her an example." A lady comes along It was not of her choosing, really. It was the hand of God who picked up Esther for this occasion. Because Mordecai said, who knows, but that for this time in the kingdom, God has brought you. He didn't use the term God, but you have been brought here. Who knows? And I want you to know, Esther, listen, if I die, you will die too. If all the Israelites die, your family's going to die as well. You're not going to escape because you are a Jewess. Your life is in danger as well. And so the beauty queen, when she heard of the decree that was signed and the sad things that would happen, what did she do? I like this. You know, she was well taught, well trained. Because of the burden of all of Israel and the burden of this beauty queen, what did she do? She ordered that 3 days of fasting should take place. Beloved, let me tell you, I believe when the church of God is burdened, there should be a real period of fasting in our midst. Don't look at me. I know I'm overweight. You think maybe we don't know nothing about fasting and it's not good to tell people when you fast or whether you fast or not. So we're not going to be judgmental here tonight. But when a burden is so heavy upon the hearts of the children of God that you lose your appetite or you cut out other activities, it doesn't have to be food, you see. For the church, fasting takes on many forms. Are we burdened enough where we weep? Did you weep? Did I weep Sunday night when souls were in church and left and seemingly did not give their heart to Christ? Do I weep or am I burdened as there's so much preaching going on in our land and we haven't seen a real stir? We haven't seen an awakening. Is it because perhaps we need a revival in our hearts as God's children? We need to know something about spending more time before the Lord. And this beauty queen who is beautiful in face and form, yet she dared to allow herself to fast as well. She didn't only call upon the nation to fast, but she had been involved in it herself. She wasn't concerned about her looks, her beauty. Then, the thing is, we must fast and pray. And while the word is not used, but we must call upon the name of the Lord. I'm sure that's who they called on, was the God of Israel. But I admire her. I really do. This beauty queen who saw the need of portraying not so much the outer appearance of Esther, but the inner qualities. And that's the beauty, beloved, that God is looking for today. Inner beauty of a child of God is something that you can't imitate. It isn't that you go around with a great smile and you're laughing all day long. No, that's not the idea. Because a lot of Christians have burdens. I mean, Jeremiah was a weeping prophet who had the burden of Israel, because the more he preached, the more they rejected the message of the gospel. And Jeremiah wept before God again and again and again. But that man had an inner beauty in him and about him, because he was faithful to God's word and faithful to Israel as he preached the message to that nation. And so too, as Esther called upon the nation to fast, this beauty queen, to cultivate that inner beauty as I talked about. So too, beloved, I believe great things can happen if we come to a place where we're burdened enough, where there's going to be a period of humiliation, where there's going to be a period of intercession, there's going to be a period where we really get before or in the presence of the Lord, and we're going to come into the presence of the great king, not the Ahasuerus or this man, but the great king. King of kings, the Lord himself. And so this dear woman acknowledged, no doubt, her dependence upon God. And because of this, God gave the answer. But not without difficulty. Oh, yeah. A lot of difficulty, obstacles, barriers that confronted them. And I see a man who hated the Jew. And if you think you're going to be loved all the time, forget it. Haman hated the Jew, hated the Jewish nation. And he got that decree signed by deception. And the king signed it. And he didn't even know all about what was involved in that decree. And there was a man at the gate who wouldn't bow down to him. And because of this, he had such animosity in his heart, hatred in his heart. Everything is good in this kingdom except for that Jew, Mordecai. He never bows to me when I pass him. He wasn't going to bow to the whim of Haman. But Haman says, but he's going to. Time is going to come. I'm going to make him bow. One day he was sitting by the gate, and it was his custom. Often he was in sackcloth. He wasn't well dressed, I'll tell you. He looked like a street tramp, really. And he heard two men conniving how they could put the king to death. God had him there at the appointed time. That was no accident. He didn't work for the CIA or FBI. He was just God's man. And there he heard that. So he sent word immediately through Shushan and the others that brought the message to the king. Mordecai has heard that these two men have conspired to take the life of the king. And upon investigation, they found out that it was true. And they had them hung very quickly. They were disposed of just like that. And they wrote it down in the chronicles of the king. And it was forgotten. And when Haman was going all about getting the decree written up to have the Jews obliterate or really destroyed, and families destroyed, the Jewish family destroyed, getting it all in order, Esther dared, if I perish, I perish. And so she goes to the door. And that man, that king, raised his scepter. Because if he didn't, the executioner was ready to put her to death immediately. What is it, Esther, that I can do for thee? Esther said, I'd like to make a banquet for you and Haman. And, you're talking about diplomacy. Man, she didn't just rush into the king and say, oh, King Haman has decreed to kill all of my people and blah, blah, blah. No, I want to have a banquet. He said, that sounds good. Have Haman to make up all the arrangements and so on. And we could have this banquet. And then you tell me what's on your heart. You see, she wasn't rushing or pushing in this matter. And of course, in the meantime, and that particular night, the king went to bed, and you talk about God doesn't deal or carry out his program. My friend, let me tell you, he's got a program in your life. You don't understand it now. You think it's awkward to talk to dear brother Willie today. Juliana, as you know, not well, and Willie's knees filled up with fluid again. Lucetta's not well. Corrine's been sick for a long time, and Willie was saying, Brother Frank, I don't know how much more I can take. I said, you're only going to take, Brother Willie, as much as the Lord will allow on you and no more. He knows exactly how much you can carry. He said, that's comforting. He said, I know that truth. He said, but I need to be reminded of that. He said, that's what gives me encouragement every day. He says, I appreciate reminding me of it. Beloved, listen, he knows your past sometimes doesn't look the brightest, and you wonder why it doesn't change, and you've been praying to God. And who is to doubt the sincerity of your prayer as a father or a mother, even over your children? God knows that you are sincere. He knows that you're really in touch with Him. It's just the timing of God. Nothing is more precious and more perfect than the timing of God. Always be encouraged, dear child of God. God has a time. Please, you see. I always say he's never in a hurry, and he's never late. Never. Carries it out just at the precise moment. And here's the king goes to bed this night, and he couldn't sleep. You think that was an accident, just plain case of insomnia? Or he ate too many hamburgers or hot dogs? No. God had caused it so that he couldn't sleep. And what do you do when you can't sleep? Do what I do. I pick up a book and I start to read. Like Ali used to say, don't count sheep, talk to the shepherd. That's even better if you can't sleep. And so the king decided to read. You know why he took up the Chronicles to read? Because they're boring. He figured it was so monotonous, and if he had that to read, then it would put him to sleep. Well, we're not going to read the Bible that way, because it's boring or monotonous. No, God forbid. However, when the king came across this item in the book, or in the chapter of the book, where this man, Mordecai, had been the one who gave the news that these two men were about to assassinate the king, and the king was kind of surprised. He said, has anything been done for this man Mordecai, who has actually been the cause of saving the king's life? They said, nothing, sir, your majesty, nothing. Absolutely nothing has been done for him. And that morning early, who should show up? Haman. Haman! Yes, your majesty. What shall the king do for the man that the king delighteth in? And Haman thought it was him. And boy, you're talking about a greedy man with Haman. He right away, he poked his chest out, and he said, your majesty, may the robe that the king uses. Now, that's audacity. You don't want to use the king's robe. You don't normally ask for anything like that. But you know, he's a selfish, greedy bigot. That's what he was. Oh, that the king's robe may be worn by the man. And that he will ride in the king's chariot. And there will be a servant that will take the horse of the king's chariot down Main Street shouting, this is the man in whom the Lord delighteth to honor in, or the king delighteth to honor. And shouted out too. Boy, Don, listen, he wasn't asking for no little deed. And the king said, Haman, I think that's good. Now I want you to go out and do exactly all of that for Mordecai. Man. I'd like to be there to get the first scoop. If I had a camera just to take the picture of him. You go, take my clothing, here it are, the royal robe, put it on Mordecai, let him be carried in my chariot down the street, and you, Haman, you shout, this is the man in whom the king honoreth and delighteth in. You see how God turned the table? Everything looked dark and bleak and dismal and forlorn. And now God had turned it instantly in one night. Beloved, I speak for myself. If ever a man that's slow in learning the ways of God and the wisdom of God as a preacher before you. But they will come out all right if we would only trust him. That's what God wants, for us to trust him more. For they that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently, what? Seek him. Keep at it. Don't get discouraged. Get up. Go on. Press on. Keep praying. God will honor and God will bless. And we will achieve. We will triumph. You know why? Promised it in his word. And he will never fail. I like the women, actually the passengers who were down below ship. It was a terrible storm. One lady dared, she staggered up the stairs and looked in the pilot house, and the pilot looked down at her, and she ran downstairs and she said, everything's going to be all right. They said, how do you know? He said, the captain looked at me and he smiled. She took that smile as a smile of assurance, you see. Don't you think for a moment, or do you not think for a moment that our captain looks down on us when we're going through our storm? And he smiles. The smile of assurance. He's going to protect. And he's going to garrison. And he's going to answer your prayer. And he's going to bless. And so they carried out. He carried out. The request of the king. But boy, in the meantime, or just before that, the king didn't know, but you know, he had a 50-foot gallows prepared on the advice of his wife for Mordecai. See? And then came the banqueting night. Now, Esther, what is it that's on your heart? Tell me what's on your heart. You see her days of fasting and her days of faithfulness. And now, right at the crossroads, and she tells the king her courage in this particular at this particular moment. As she poured out her heart and told him what Haman had decreed and had the king sign, all of my people stand in danger of perishing because of the decree, O king. And mind you, she hadn't been called for 30 days. She thought that she was unwanted, undesired. But at that designated moment, it looked like a long time, but God had his plan. And he said, the king didn't really realize this, what had happened. And he says, well, you know, the law of the Medes and the Persians cannot be changed. I have decreed it, but I tell you what I'll do. I will make another decree, and the decree will go out at all of your people and the land. I will put weapons in your hand, and you will be able to defend yourself against the enemies of Israel. That's fair enough. He couldn't change the decree. But they got so scared because in that whole battle, 75,000 Persians died. And they realized that the Jews were no mean people to reckon with. So these people quickly gave up their arms, stopped fighting, and let the Jews have their way. And they were in control. You see, that's what the king did. That was a decree that he had signed. And they were able to defend themselves. And so the beauty queen shone for the glory of God. Can we shine for him? You know, there is a verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. In fact, let's turn to it. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I'll be wrapping it up any minute now. In verse 18, actually, Paul was speaking about the Holy Spirit. He was saying, if Moses' face shone because the law was given to him, how much more, now that we have the Holy Spirit in us, should there be that radiancy in our countenance, in our deportment, as we go through this life? That's something else. If Moses got it, his face shone because of the law that was given to him, Paul says, how much more, you see, now that we have the Holy Spirit within us and the Word, the whole Bible now, we should be more radiant for the Lord in a sense, shouldn't we? And that's what he's saying in verse 18 of chapter 3, 2 Corinthians. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. I want to tell you, when you look into a glass, it mirrors the image of the Lord. That's what he's saying. As you look into a mirror, the image is magnified. That's what he's saying. And we see the glory of Christ. And it's magnified. The more we look at Christ, the more we see him in the Word, the more we see him in prayer, the more we see him in our service for him, the more he will be magnified in our life. That is the glory of Christ. And Paul says, as in a glass, we see the glory of the Lord. And listen, we are what? Changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by his Spirit, or by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, in the day is coming, Frank Perry is going to shine as he's never shone before. And you see, you know, I've got a little news for you. Even if we're just a status quo Christian, you know what I mean by that? If you're just a sort of going on for the Lord, I mean, nothing exciting may be. Maybe you're just enduring it now. Do you know something? God is working the image of his Son in your life and my life every day. rather conscious of it or not. Some of God's children shine with such radiancy. I think of Dan Snadden that was mentioned tonight. That man has been through so much as a prisoner in Singapore under the Japanese. They suffer terribly. We won't have time to talk about that. But Dan always is an example of a radiant Christian. There was one great missionary in Burma as an Iron Judson. They called him Mr. Glory Face. Mr. Glory Face. Not always easy to smile. Not always easy to put out the best. It's much easier to groan and complain. I asked one person, why you groan? Says, I find it takes away some of the pain. Well, if it's safe, if your groaning helps you in your pain, groan on. As long as you're groaning to yourself. You know, sometimes I'm scared to death to ask, how are you? Because I'm never going to get a word in to let them know how I am. You know, time they get through with their 5 or 6 problems, I've got no room to tell them about mine. Anyhow, it's best you just leave it all on the altar for God and just say, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift, and that we will not be over anxious for anything, but with prayer and thanksgiving, let our requests be made known unto God. There is a psalm that says, let the beauty of the Lord shine upon us. Psalm 19, verse 17. I think that's a good verse 8. You thought to be conscious of, you know. Let the beauty of the Lord be upon us day by day. Why not? Why not? God will be honored. God will be glorified if this is true. You know, Satan has an ugly contest too. You're talking about the ugly personalities of the world. The devil has a lot of them. The prodigal son tried the way of sin. What happened to him? There he was like a street beggar. That's the ugliness of people who serve Satan. Judas, who would sell him for 30 pieces of silver. Gehazi lied to the man, Naaman. And said, you know, some preachers have come to town, even though my Lord did not take any gift from you, but now he's changed his mind. Since some preachers have come to town, we would like something to sustain them with. And Naaman laden him down with the silver and so on, and changes the raiment. But Elisha found out. And he said, the leprosy of Naaman be upon you, Gehazi. Man had no power with God. And it showed it in his life. It's only with the help of the Lord and the more time we spend in his presence that we will shine for him. And may with his grace and his help this be accomplished for his glory. And this, of course, necessitates all the humility of one's heart. And he will indeed bless, and his beauty will be upon us. Shall we pray? Lord, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for the beauty queen, Esther, the star that you used, who shone with such brilliancy, because she dared to forego all of the seeming delights and privileges and pleasure of being the king's wife. But to have the plan of God come first. The word of God come first. We thank you for Esther. And for the lessons that we've learned over the years from this dear book. Father, we realize that we're only repeating what we already know. Just a reminder that how we are to act when we're called upon to really witness and called upon to live and call upon to act for your glory during these periods of God that could be very difficult. Bless your children, Lord. Remember the fishermen again. We pray that you be with them and that they'll be able to get away and we'll have the joy of seeing them home again shortly without any incident. Thank you for the way that you have preserved and blessed. Thus we commend them to your grace and your love. Remember, the household of faith, we just pray special blessings to be upon them. Thank you again, Lord, for our assembly. Thank you for the way that you have guided and blessed us here. And we look forward to greater things with thee. Give us a burden, Lord, a greater burden for the work of God, a greater burden for the people of God. More compassion, more love, more kindness. For we pray it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, this is my last night as far as I know, but I've really enjoyed just a few nights. It's difficult to take up a theme when we have just a few nights like this, but I'm sure there'll be other periods, and there were longer periods. Sometimes the servant of God can take up a book study or a theme. But I trust the few messages that we've sought the Lord's guidance in have been according to His